I'm back, baby. That's right. I'm washing my hair again. But not washing my hair with just anything. There's only one product I will put in my hair, and it's made by Modern Mammals. Head over to modernmammals.com/pages/LSS for 10% off with promo code LSS. For a long time, I completely swore off shampoo. It leaves your hair dry, overly fluffy, unmanageable, and just not looking great. There's a bunch of leftover residue in that stuff too, and it just robs your hair of its natural oils and throws off the pH balance. Modern Mammals just doesn't do that. My hair feels brand new every time I use it, and it's been a complete game changer for me. But you know what? Don't just take my word for it either. Head over to their website, read the reviews. This stuff really is awesome. You're going to feel the difference, and people are going to notice the difference as well. So head over to modernmammals.com/pages/LSS and use code LSS for 10% off. Again, that's modernmammals.com for 10% off with promo code LSS. Don't forget to use that promo code LSS so they know I sent you. And remember, supporting our sponsors is supporting me.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls from all over the world, we're back. Wednesday, September 1st, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to talk about some music. Don't worry, I'm not alone. He's here. Mike!
Hello, everybody.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, just vibing. I'm having a fantastic Wednesday.
Yeah, I can tell you are because, you know, while we're getting this set up and stuff, I can see you in this like little tiny window in the bottom of my screen, mm-hmm. and you're just like rocking out, like dancing.
I've got my hype up song that I listen before every episode we record.
Oh, I like that. I what's the song? Is it always different?
It's always the same song. It is Sakura by Within Destruction featuring Jason Richardson.
Ah.
Off their latest album. It's an instrumental track and it's an absolute banger.
There you go. Joey Hawkins says, oh yeah, bud.
Oh yeah, bud.
There you go. Oh, we got a good group here on Twitch. Welcome everybody on the podcast side of things. Eventually, I'm going to get you all here live Wednesdays at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time because we have
a party. You got to come join us.
We have a party every single week. Speaking of parties, last week we had a big party.
Yeah, we did.
Top 10 releases, a whole bunch of other shit. I'll be honest, I couldn't get to it all. But I'd love to hear what you got to and what you enjoyed from last week.
I mean, I think first up, we should talk about the most mysterious release from last week. This new Halsey album. We didn't know anything going in.
Yeah.
What did you think of it? Did you get a chance to check it out?
No, I actually didn't. It's accompanied by a movie, right? Like, yeah. This is the whole thing. And I felt like I needed to do it. It's appropriate
film.
Justice. Like, you know, it's like you mm-hmm. can't listen to Pink Floyd without watching Wizard of Oz. You know what I mean? It's,
I listen to Pink Floyd and I watch Paul Blart Mall Cop too. Okay. So to each their own.
Exactly. But no, I know there was a lot of mystery, and I didn't even really get a chance to read about it. So mm-hmm. if someone else would like to take my job as co-host of this podcast, maybe they would do better than me. But talk about this release and what you thought of it.
So I listened to this album two or three times. I thought that it was really fun. There were some kind of your typical pop songs, right? And then there were some more kind of like almost alternative, a little bit punk, a little grungy songs on there. I think only a couple of songs really stood out to me, songs that I'm like, oh yeah, I want to add this to my playlist. But overall, I think it's a pretty fun release. I do really want to go see the film. I don't know when I'm going to get time, right?
Yeah.
And just kind of put some context to everything. But I think overall it's a really solid release. Definitely a bold statement releasing an album without any singles. But I think Halsey's kind of got the power to do whatever she wants with it. So I think she did pretty well.
Yeah, I dig it. I think she's great. And I think everything she does is really good. So I look forward to diving into that one too. But I would like to see it kind of with the film. I just feel like that's how it was written and how it should be consumed. But I would like to talk about something you were so excited about coming back.
Yep.
The new single from the Somerset, straight out of Arizona.
Yeah.
Man, like, they're back. This song is incredible.
It's like they never left. It's like they found the magic again. I don't know what happened. It is pure Somerset, pure good vibes. It's got that tint of like nostalgia for like 80s films and things like that. And man, I just love these guys. I don't think they can miss. It's physically impossible.
No, I was absolutely jamming that song like on repeat all since last week. Really, really good. And the other thing that I can't stop listening to is the new album from Turnstile.
Yeah, I figured that was you.
I knew, well, some of the singles were like weird and I welcomed it for the most part. But once you got the full album together and you heard just the context of where they are sitting on the album and how it kind of flows in with some of the other, you know, non-singles that are like maybe a little bit more punk, I just have been loving this record. And I think this is like similar to when Refused put out The Shape of Punk to Come, you know, back in the 90s and everybody kind of took notice. I think, I know it's a bold statement, but I think Turnstile is doing that right now and almost creating a new style of music with this release. I can't get enough of it. I am loving this album.
And I'd be incredibly inclined to agree. I think there's some absolutely stellar tracks in this record, but I think as a whole, it just works so much better. It's an experience listening to it, and you're kind of like, when I was listening to it, I'm just thinking like, man, I want to see these songs live so badly, because there's just an energy to it that's undeniable. You can like, it just works, right? Like I'd want to see this album all the way through live.
Yeah, absolutely. And the record we have to talk about, because Michael Howell chose it as our number one album, the new album from With Confidence, the Boys from Down Under. Talk to me about this one, because this was your number one in a big week. Yep. So I really want to know if this record didn't disappoint or did.
Yeah, so this one was number one kind of based off the singles, based off of how much we knew about it. And I think it was a deserved number one. I think it's a really, really solid album from pop punk staple band With Confidence. I didn't pull a lot of singles from it, or a lot of songs besides the singles from it.
Yeah.
There were a couple really cool ones, like I think the song's called Atlanta that I really liked.
Right.
And I honestly need to dive more into this album. But there are other albums that kind of stole the spotlight from it.
Yeah,
for me.
I would agree with all that. I think, you know, comparing it to like an album we had, whatever it was, a couple weeks ago, or was it last week, Between the Baron and Me with Colors 2. I mean, these are our number one albums of the week. They could not be more different. You know, Between the Baron and Me, there's so much to consume. Such a long album. This With Confidence record, like it was over and I was like, that's it? Like it went by so fast. Like this record must clock in at under a half an hour.
It's 30 minutes and 7 seconds.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm wrong. but I wanted more. I wanted more from this record. I wanted, I thought that it was cool that they, used some sort of different sounds that maybe they hadn't used before and put themselves a little bit more out there. But I did feel like maybe if there was two more tracks on this record or something like that, maybe something a little longer with a little more experimentation, I think I would have really welcomed it for this album. It's also kind of a slow record. Like
it really is.
It's a bit slower than I was expecting. I was hoping for a little more. I mean, I don't expect the aggression, but I was expecting maybe something a little more angry and I mean, that being said, it's a great power pop album. And if you like that style of music, you're going to love that album.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I think that coming back later in the year, this record's going to hit a little differently. These songs didn't pop off to me as like, yeah, this is some summertime pop punk. This is what I'm going to enjoy like the end of the summer with. I think this is like end of fall, beginning of winter pop punk, where it's a bit slower, it's a bit more sad, and I think it's just going to feel a little bit better then.
Absolutely.
But you mentioned experimentation, and I want to talk about a band that I think experimented quite a bit and stepped really out of their comfort zone with this release. I want to talk about this new Grayscale record.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to check it out?
I did.
It is incredible.
I mean, I think it definitely, I mean, took, I don't want to say like it made With Confidence look bad, because that's not the case.
I think it did a
little bit.
But,
you know, I mean, this record is really next level. Mm-hmm. From a band that I've been calling it for years that they're going to get to the top of the pop punk or you know, the rock side of pop punk mountain. And maybe their faces will eventually be on the Mount Rushmore of pop punk. I think it's possible. And this record is something else.
It's banging. Every song is just great. Like, I think it's the first time I heard Carolina Skies, I messaged like five of my pop punk friends and I'm like, bro, this song is just incredible.
Yeah. And that's buried down in the track listing like that, you know, that's, yeah. And it just comes out of nowhere and it's like, oh yeah, dude.
And oddly, like, I think it's the same amount of tracks as the With Confidence album, but it's like 36 minutes. Okay. It's one more track, but 36 and a half minutes. Right. And like, it just feels much longer and meatier. Just with that little bit extra too. But I love what they did with this record. A lot of bands have been bringing in the saxophone for like one song, just kind of a little fill. They saturated this record with sax and 80s synth. And it's the same thing as the Somerset, right? It's that very kind of like recognizable sound that if I didn't know who Grayscale was and I heard these songs and they were like supposed to be set in a movie in the 80s, I'm like, oh, this is probably a one-hit wonder band I've never heard of. But like, it's incredible. It's very well put together. Lyrically, it's brilliant. I think this record should have been number one and I fudged up, guys. So sorry.
Maybe. But the other record that was way down in the nine hole was the new record from Churches, which somebody also brought up in the chat just now. And
I loved it.
It's a great record too. And one that I don't think I got through the whole thing, to be honest. It's a longer record. We got a lot of 5-minute songs on this thing. So I think I got to probably track 7 or 8, got to where I was going. I didn't get through the whole thing, but I mean, I know from the strength of the singles and from the strength of the some of the other album tracks on side A, this is also a banging record. And I think Churches is one of the best doing it in the pop, the indie pop, whatever you want to call it, in that genre. I think Churches is the best.
Wholeheartedly agree. And I mean, just to completely change gears on us and talk about some of the metal releases that came out last week. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love the new Leprous record. I think it was kind of overshadowed by the fact that I haven't gotten a really good pop punk record since the Waterparks record. And I've had a couple good progressive metal records like in between there. Right. So it's a really good album and I absolutely love it. Be sure to check that out. And then the new Phineas record. I think Phineas is the like modern torchbearer of that like 2005 metalcore sound, and they did it absolutely brilliantly.
There you go.
This record is lock solid. It's so good.
I am into it, Mike. Well,
and then we better. You know, there's one more album I got to talk
about. Oh, okay. No, go ahead. Oh, I do. Yes. Yes. I'll put your hands up. 303.
We
got to
talk
baby.
About the new album from 303. Did you get a chance to check this out?
I did not. I didn't feel like dancing enough this week. Maybe I'll feel it like is, dancing this week and I'll check it out. But last week, no, not enough dancing in my soul.
Right. This record, how do I describe it? It's illegal how good this record for how much of kind of like a meme joke band 303 is. Like in retrospect, I think I would have put this as my number two. Just because it's the wordplay is phenomenal. It just has that feel of their first album with also like incorporating references to their previous album, other albums, and sounds pulled from there. And it's just kind of like a cumulative work. And I absolutely love it. Like, they took a song called Skid Marks and Skid Marks is in the lyrics. Like, they actually talk about it. And they're like, hey, this bad thing that's going on in your life right now, it may seem horrible, but you know, skid marks, they wash out. That's literally the chorus.
What an analogy.
And it's amazing. Like, I don't know what it is. I love this record. I think it's great. I think a bunch of people are still probably sleeping on 303, looking at these listener numbers. Like, some of the tracks only have like 35,000 listens. Like, get on this. 303 is still amazing and writing great material.
Right. And yes, the song Taco Tuesday only has 22,000
and it's
plays.
One of the best on the record.
And it's, I mean, who doesn't love Taco Tuesday? Get in on that. And I much respect to 303. I think they're an awesome band and they paved the way for fucking a lot of music. Some of it bad, but I don't blame 303 for that. So
sometimes it just be like that.
Okay, Mike, it's time. Let's get into this week. We got some things to talk about. We have a top five.
We do.
Just a top five.
Five this week.
Just five.
Yep.
Let's start with number five.
So number five, we've got a band that I think is really kind of niche right now, but really awesome. It's a band called the Night Flight Orchestra. They're from Sweden. They're releasing their new album, Aeromantic 2. It's a follow-up to their release last year. These guys are super cool. I know that I have kind of talked down on some of the modern bands trying to recreate that vintage 70s, 80s rock and roll sound. This is a band that I won't do that for because they are doing that in a really cool way that I think they're not leaning into like making it a gimmicky thing or kind of falling into tropes. They've really taken a modern songwriting approach and just kind of applied those sounds that you are kind of like really familiar with classic rock, like the organ and adding some strings in there. I think these guys are incredible and I'm really excited for this record.
Yeah, they do. They're doing something that I can't think of another band doing it quite this way. They have, it's basically, they're a classic rock band.
Yeah.
In 2021, they're a classic rock band.
They started in like 2012 too. So it's not like a band that's been doing it forever. They like modern.
Yes. And they sound like, for example, the first single from this new record, I can't remember the name of the song.
Chardonnay Nights.
Yeah,
Burn For Me.
It's the title track. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it sounds like the beginning of Eye of the Tiger. Like it has that feeling to it. Like you've heard so many times, like on a classic rock station. What is Eye of the Tiger? Was that Europe that does? No, Europe does.
Survivor.
Europe does Final Countdown. But it's this very similar style to that era of classic rock, or Journey or something. Like it even has elements of that.
I described it too.
You know, of not classic rock like Led Zeppelin maybe, or early Aerosmith or something. More later on.
Other bands
are
doing more of that.
Yeah, yep. Late 70s kind of stuff.
On the verge of hair metal.
Right.
Like glam rock.
Definitely pre-hair metal, but yes.
Yep.
And it is unique and it is very well done. And I kudos to them for pulling this off, because it's something that I don't think it's easy to do.
If you've been like, man, I love the instrumentals that Steel Panther put together, but I just can't get it with the jokey content, this band is right up your alley.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, they've got some, like, it's weird too, because they're not just doing like power chords and stuff. Like, they've actually got like some cool little riffs and licks under some of the verses and choruses and stuff like that as well, which is just super fun. You don't get that with a lot of the older rock bands. It's kind of developed sound, I guess. Everything's doing something interesting.
No, totally. If you like Toto, if you like Boston, if you like Styx, they've got that kind of vibe for you as well. So great pick, number five, with something very different and something people should definitely check out, the Night Flight Orchestra.
Ready to get to number four?
I am.
All right. Number four is kind of a big one. I know a lot of people love this band, and I'm really happy that they're putting out some new material, because I think that they're kind of having a resurgence and making some great new music. But coming out of Florida, we've got the new EP Forever and Ever, X Infinity and Beyond by Newfound Glory. This is an EP full of B-sides from their last release, as well as, I think, like one or two other songs that they recorded afterwards during the pandemic and everything like that. I love Newfound Glory. I think their last record was some of their best work, and I think that they're really coming up again and making some solid, what do we even call them? Like pop rock, pop punk.
Yeah, pop
like,
punk. I mean, they're pop a pop punk, punk yeah. band. I think that without Newfound Glory, you know, taking what someone like Green Day did and kind of modernizing it, mm-hmm. I think that the scene wouldn't be the same way. I think that they're that important in establishing what we consider to be modern pop punk. Mm-hmm. And I like that they still keep it real. Like one of their singles has like a really like kind of just raw guitar opening riff. The guitar isn't even in perfect tune. And then they just blaze in with like a double time punk beat. And I'm like, mm-hmm. fuck yeah. Like this is the Newfound Glory that I like from, you know, Nothing Gold Can Stay or the self-titled album. Like that's my shit. Yep. And I think that the band has sort of, I don't know, in some ways maybe struggled to find where their identity is because they had so much success in the mainstream, but mm-hmm. I felt like they were never comfortable really like trying to be that band.
Yeah.
And so I feel like they were always kind of pushing and pulling with themselves as to where they're going to fit. And I agree with you saying they have a resurgence because I think now they're just super comfortable like playing mm-hmm. the music they want to play. The fans love it and they're just going to do that. And, I look forward to every release that they've put out, especially in the last, let's say the last 5 or 6 years, I think, their music has gotten a lot better than that kind of the middle of their career when it was just, I think they were having an identity crisis.
I 100% agree. And, the only thing else that I really want to talk about with this little EP, is I want to say that it is absolutely criminal that these songs were B-sides. These songs 100% should have been on this album because I think Backseat and The Last Red Eye are better than at least like 2/3 of that record. And I really like that record.
Yeah. That happens sometimes, right? With this stuff. It's strange, I guess, you know, I don't know if things get reworked or if,
That's like, totally possible. Like they took a song idea and then like actually like flushed it out a bit and they're like, oh, well it was written during the same time. So it's a B-side.
Yeah. Or sometimes what happens with bands too is that you'll have two songs that are both good, but they're like this, they fill a similar space, whether it's like they're kind of the same tempo or maybe they're even in the same key or the subject matter.
And they just choose the worst one to put on the album.
Well, they pick one and then they're like, well, that other song's really good. It's like, what is kind of like that other song? It's like, well, they both could be on the album and some bands overthink that stuff, you know? But Newfound Glory, I feel like we haven't talked about them too much on the show. I love the band.
Yeah.
The first tour bus I ever went on in my life was Newfound Glory.
Oh, that's awesome.
First bus I was ever on. And they were very nice to me. So
solid classic band.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get to number three.
Number three.
Coming in with a crazy announcement. Homesafe releasing their new album, Nervous Reaction. I found out about this album coming out maybe like 5-6 hours ago because that's when they announced this album coming out.
It's pretty crazy.
They are self-releasing all their material from now on, which awesome move. Congrats to Homesafe on doing that.
Yeah.
They released a new single kind of preemptively. They've got one single on Spotify called Coming Clean. I don't know if it's a standalone single. It's from 2020, I think. So I'm not sure if it's going on this record. I don't have a track list. There's no pre-orders yet. So I don't really know much about this record. The single that they did drop, though, and they dropped a music video for on Brooklyn Vegan, is going live with the album Everywhere Friday. Weird turn for this band. And I'm kind of here for it. I think that they're going more grunge, and it honestly really kind of reminded me of the new Turnstile record.
Right.
And I am really here for it. Homesafe, if people are familiar, they're kind of like a pop punk band. They're thrown in with the same names as bands like Seaway, like Pacific, who else? Maybe like early Trash Boat, stuff like that. But they've always kind of been like one of those pop punk bands that doesn't really fit in the pop punk genre.
Right.
And I like this move to kind of like the grungy style, and I hope the rest of the album is like it. The single that I heard today from this new album, absolute banger.
Yeah.
Really excited for this.
Yeah, they're part of the Chicago pop punk scene, which
is massive.
I mean, so many great bands, and I feel like they all push each other, you know? And over the years, all the bands that have come out of there, whether it's Real Friends or Knuckle Puck, or I believe Home Safe has a ex-member of Knuckle Puck or something like that as well.
I think so.
I remember. So, you know, all these bands are just from, obviously, a great music town, a big city with a big scene, and they just keep getting better.
Yeah,
and the scene keeps getting better. And I think Chicago, like, is one of the premier pop punk markets,
if not the premier.
Right.
I mean, look at some of the upcoming bands that we have talked to coming from Chicago. Bands like Guardrail.
Yeah.
Who else? I forget all their names. There's so many good ones, right? But we talked about them on, or with many of them on our segments for Locals Only, things like that. There's tons of great new music coming out of Chicago right now. Absolutely love
yes,
it.
Yes, we just talked about Chicago pop punk, and we didn't even bring up Fall Out Boy. We didn't even have to. That's how good the Chicago pop punk scene is now. So there you go. I love it. I love the pick, and congratulations to HomeSafe for doing this, and jump on that. Nobody knows about it. You're going to be the first people to hear this new music. It's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, announced very recently. It's kind of crazy. I love a release like this because it's really surprising to me too. I really like their last album, One. And I think that this is going to be super fun. I like Home Safe.
Yes. All right. Two more.
Number two. We got a big one to talk about. Probably one of, I would say probably the second most iconic band in all of heavy metal.
You could argue the most. But I'll give you
could argue
I'll give you top two.
They've only played six continents, so
how many continents are there even? I mean,
seven.
Okay, is that official?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
Metallica played Antarctica. This band hasn't played Antarctica.
Okay.
So
we'll give them the number two slot, and they are the number two album of the week, not number one.
There we go.
It's Iron Maiden.
Yup.
With their new album. Wait for it.
It's called Senjutsu.
It's called what?
Senjutsu.
Okay. Senjutsu.
They've got Samurai Eddie on the cover. It looks pretty cool.
I dig that.
I love Iron Maiden. Probably one of the first heavy metal bands that I really started getting into. I think that their album Power Slave is one of, if not the best, heavy metal album ever recorded. It's absolutely a masterpiece. I don't think that Iron Maiden's ever missed. Based on the singles and the reviews I'm seeing, this album is going to be another masterpiece. And I know that a bunch of people have said, like, oh, the last couple albums in the 2000s haven't really hit for me. This is going to be a return to form of old school Maiden. I think that this record's going to be great.
Yes. Power Slave is a classic. The Number of the Beast is a classic.
Yeah.
Killers is a classic. I mean, we've got so many great albums, and you know, you might think that Iron Maiden is a band that's like, I don't know, gotten embarrassing as they've gotten older, but not really. No. Their material has like been fairly solid, and I'll tell you, man, I am so impressed with these new singles, especially what is it called? Stratego.
This is like shorter one.
Yeah, man, this is a banger. This is like sounds like straight up. It could be on the Number of the Beast. Like this has those elements, which you don't always get, you know, with a band that's been a band for I don't know 40 something years, at least.
Iron Maiden, are they almost pushing 50 years as a band?
They might be.
Let me look
because
it up.
They definitely started in the 70s. But I don't know when in the 70s.
1975.
Okay.
So yeah, 46 years. Wait, no.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, 46 years.
46 years. And for a band to be putting out material like this is pretty cool. And Bruce Dickinson sounds pretty great. And,
legend.
Yeah, man. It's, I think sometimes when you, like, I remember a while back, I laughed at Mike when he put the Metallica S&M album in our top five, and it was a bit of a slow week, so I won't.
Still pretty cool.
It wasn't that bad a record, actually. But you know, sometimes with this stuff, you're like, you roll your eyes and you go, come on, really? But in this case, I think this is deserving of the number two slot and a classic band still putting out pretty good music.
Yeah. Sometimes you just can't deny talent. And I think that Iron Maiden has just consistently been throwing out absolutely amazing records. Like even the stuff that people don't enjoy very much, like, gosh, what is the record? The Final Frontier what else is it? Like Book of Souls, their last release, like, and then even A Matter of Life and Death and like stuff like that. Like I was checking over there. Like a lot of people say like Brave New World was their last like okay record. I think all that stuff in the 2000s is still like top 70% heavy metal. Like it's pretty good.
Right. No, I mean, yeah, and I think somebody came on here and argued with me yesterday about the Book of Souls being a great record, and not to say that I don't necessarily think it is. I mean, to be honest, I didn't really listen to it, and that's the problem that happens sometimes with these bands too, is like people kind of start writing them off, and sometimes not deservedly so, and I think that this Iron Maiden record is going to be one that is going to get good reviews that are deserving of good reviews, and everyone should check it out.
Yeah. Also, shout out to Amazon for accidentally pricing their triple LP for this at $18. So I got a steal.
Nice. Nice. Look at that. You pulled one over on the man.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully they don't fuck over Iron Maiden on that.
No, hopefully they don't.
But you know what? Iron Maiden has their own fucking plane. I don't think they care about your $18.99 anyway.
That's true. Does Metallica have a plane?
Oh, I don't think they do. No, and certainly James Hetfield doesn't fly it.
Yeah.
Iron Maiden, one of the coolest bands of all time.
You've seen them live like recently, right? Like maybe within the last 10 years or so?
Yeah.
Like their stage performance is still just incredible. Like, all the theatrical elements that they bring to their show, just incredible. And B, they sound perfect live. Like, you couldn't tell that they put out like Number of the Beast 35 years ago.
Yeah. I know.
It just sounds like. Same.
Yeah, I know.
It's great.
I know. No, my brother-in-law is a huge Iron Maiden fan. And you know, he lives in Las Vegas. So lots of stuff comes through. He doesn't care about any of it. Like he got tickets to see Billy Joel playing a private show to like 150 people. Whatever, I don't care. Give the tickets away to a friend. But Iron Maiden's coming. He's the first one in line. It's the only band that he wants to see. And Iron Maiden has that kind of pull still to this day. So
I remember I saw him. I think it was the first time I saw Maiden. It was the Flight 666 tour when they were like releasing the live album and it had the plane on the cover. And they come out and they've actually got the plane like on the stage. And it's like this huge ass prop. And you look up at it and you're like, you know, that kind of looks like an actual sized plane. This is insane.
Awesome.
Incredible band, though.
Yep. Nope. That's awesome. No, we did a Soundwave with them in Australia. You know, Soundwave, it's like a five-day festival where you play all the different cities, so everybody flies to all the shows. And Iron Maiden flew their own plane. And I would see it at the airport. So we'd be leaving in the morning. I look at the window of the airport and just see the plane, like just with Eddie on the side. And like, I'm like, that is so fucking sick. And Bruce Dickinson flies it every time. It's just amazing. What a band. What a band. All right. Let's get to the number one album this week. A better album than Iron Maiden could ever release is what we're going to say.
No. I would not go that far.
But first, we're going to talk about our sponsor, Rockabilia. We'll be back right after this. And we're back.
We're back.
Why do I always resort to the soft stuff when we come back?
I don't know. One of these times you're just going to scare the shit out of me and you're going to be like, we are back.
Okay, not today though. I'm still in quiet mode. But yes, Rockabilia, head over there, okay, everybody. Use promo code Shane S-H-A-N-E at rockabilia.com and save 10% off your entire order on their already rock bottom prices on top quality band merchandise. I bet they have a shitload of Iron Maiden stuff.
They probably have like a room full of Iron Maiden stuff.
Yeah, there's no question.
Iron Maiden always has weird, cool merch too. Like, I know that they've got Eddie masks and Eddie figures and Eddie costumes and like all this crazy crap.
Oh yeah.
Probably some real cool Iron Maiden.
They're the kind of band like you see them play in Detroit and they'll have like a Detroit Red Wings Iron Maiden hockey jersey collab that's like $250. Like that's the kind of shit you expected.
And they sell out of them.
Oh, for sure they do. I think our booking agent Dave Shapiro, who is obviously like the best dude and also flies himself everywhere. He owns a couple planes. Iron Maiden is his favorite band, and he always goes to the first day of the Iron Maiden tour, wherever it is, and he buys one of everything.
One of everything?
Yep. And he just has this Iron Maiden shrine. Like, he's the biggest Iron Maiden fan in the world, too. There's a lot of these people.
Iron Maiden fans are like part of a cult.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Absolutely, they are.
Also, I love how we said we're going to come back to the number one. Come back. More Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Sorry. What are you going to stop talking about Maiden?
We can't do it. We got it, though. We got to get to this number one. Are you ready for it?
I am ready, Mike. Give me the number one most anticipated album of this week.
All right. So it's been a little while, everybody. But that doesn't mean that the year of deathcore has ended.
Oh, there it is.
We got another number one deathcore band coming for you. And this is honestly probably going to be one of the heaviest, most disgusting deathcore releases this year. I think it's going to be absolutely ass-beating.
Well, let's discuss it. I mean, discuss it.
We've got the new album Graveside Confessions by Carnifex.
Yes. Yes.
Probably one of my favorite deathcore bands ever.
Yeah, kind of originators too. You know, they've been at it for 15, 16, 17 years, I think. Put out a lot of material on Victory Records early on. I feel like they didn't get a lot of credit for it because they were in that later Victory bubble. Thing. And they got out of there. I believe they're on Nuclear Blast now, and they have really
great label.
solid records.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what more there is to say about Carnifex. If you're a fan of deathcore and you don't listen to Carnifex, I say what's wrong with you. It's probably one of the best bands out there. And B, immediately you have to go check them out. I think that Carnifex, right up there with like Despised Icon, they do it best. They are absolutely decimating with the breakdowns that they write. They just have some of the craziest blast beat fast segments, like traditional death metal, which is just super, super cool. Their songwriting and album composition is incredible. They've gone all the way from almost kind of industrial deathcore and death metal on their first record to kind of more of a refined sound now, which I enjoy the whole spread of the catalog, except their second album. I really don't like their second album, but is what it is. It's still pretty good. Scott Ian Lewis, been on Lead Singer Syndrome.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible vocalist. He's a monster.
He is a monster. He doesn't get enough credit, I think.
His live presence is terrifying.
Yeah, too. And I think after we do these podcasts, after we'll stay on and answer questions from people, and that's why you should be watching this on Twitch right now and not listening to this on the podcast side. But regardless, Mike was asked who is your, let's say, your top three deathcore vocalists of all time? And you put Scott right up there. Top three.
Right up there with Ben Doyer from Shadow of Intent. And who else did I toss up there? I don't remember.
I don't know either. But
maybe Dan Watson?
Maybe.
Dan Watson goes up there, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
It fluctuates, really. But like Scott Ian Lewis, he's one of the first names that comes to mind as favorite deathcore vocalist. He's an absolute monster. He is terrifying live. Like, this man goes full out corpse paint makeup. He generally just looks intimidating as a person. One of the nicest dudes ever. Also a Twitch streamer. Bunch of cool stuff like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely love him. Absolutely love this band. These guys know how to write everything very, very well. Even like down to the bass lines, something super underappreciated by a lot of deathcore bands. They are just super fluid all the way through with every part of the instrumentation. And it just works. I think it's some of the most solidly put together deathcore out there in a genre that's kind of memed on for getting thrown together often. But I think this record's going to be absolutely insane. And I'm actually kind of... I don't like some of the things on this record, too, because, like, at the end, they've also, like, already got the deluxe songs on there, and it's like, oh, they've got a Korn cover, which, like, is a pretty good cover, don't get me wrong, but then they've also got my absolute favorite song off their first record, and they've completely re-recorded and remastered it for 2021, Slit Wrist Savior, and it sounds like an absolute masterpiece now, which is super
great.
But yeah, I think this entire record is just going to be incredible.
That's super cool. No, I think that that's really good that they're doing that. And I think that I don't know why more bands don't do that. I really do appreciate when bands go back and say, hey, like this was especially stuff from a band's first album, right? Like there was magic, right? Like we got in a room and we created something incredible that's led us here, you know? But so much of that stuff, it was like bands don't really know what they're doing. They don't really know how to record. They don't have any money. It wasn't captured even the way that it was supposed to be. So I love when bands go back and re-record old stuff. And people that are against it, fuck you. Like, it's still there. They didn't delete the old shit. Didn't you? Yeah. If you don't like it, then listen to the old one. It's not going anywhere. So.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly love both versions. I think I like the original more because there's just something raw that I like. I fell in love with that, like, 2007 Carnifex, like, absolutely buck wild, insane. Like, one of my first forays into deathcore, when I found that record, Dead in My Arms, the name of the record. Absolutely incredible. But I also really, really like the new recording. Like, you can do stuff like that, and it's awesome, and I highly encourage it. A lot of bands have been remastering old albums and just re-recording them, and I think it's such a cool project.
Totally. Well, that's our number one. Carnifex with, I forget the name of the album.
The new album is Graveside Confessions.
Great.
You want to just do a whole recap?
Graveside Confessions. Yeah, let's do it. So number five, we've got the Night Flight Orchestra.
Their new album, Aromantic, too.
Yes. And number four?
We've got Newfound Glory with Forever and Ever, X Infinity and Beyond.
Number three?
You know, maybe that's a Times Infinity.
I think it's Times Infinity, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but...
I get out of work and I turn Math Brain off.
Forever and Ever, Times Infinity. Which, I mean, if you turn Math Brain on, you'll be like, that doesn't even make sense. You can't times anything by infinity.
I mean, you can. It just becomes infinity. That's how it works. Number three, infinity, we've got Nervous Reaction infinity, by Home Safe.
Infinity plus one, though. Can I do that? Is that allowed?
Sometimes.
Sorry.
Math gets weird.
I interrupted. Home Safe, Chicago's finest.
Nervous Reaction, new album announced today. Well, announced Wednesday if you're listening on the podcast side. Wednesday on Twitch side.
And number
two. Go check
it
out. Senjutsu by Iron Maiden.
And number one, we already said it, but we'll say it again. Carnifex.
Graveside Confessions. Oh, we both talked.
This is
Graveside
train
Confessions
wreck.
By Carnifex.
A train wreck episode, but we're done.
We're not done. We got the honorable mentions.
How many?
Oh, baby. We got 21 today.
Oh, okay. I'm ready. 21. Give it to me, baby.
All right. First one coming up, coming in hot. We got a rookie card for everybody. We like to hand these out. Cool new bands that you're going to say, man, I listened to their first release. We've got the debut EP from this cool band called Mourn. They're metalcore. They're grip. Go check them out. I don't really know how to describe them except for the fact that they're like metalcore. Like, let me look up, I guess, other artists. People say that they're really similar to like Casey and Static Dress and Limbs. And I guess people say they're similar to Spirit Breaker too. So if you like that record, I don't know. They're just solid, like kind of progressive metalcore with like hints of like old school metalcore too. I don't know. It's cool. Go listen to it.
Okay.
Everything else is singles. Well, kind of singles. We'll talk about this one because this isn't really a single. This is a single, but it's an hour and 40 minutes long, give or take.
What?
This is a song by a band called Nihilist.
Okay.
And they are breaking the vocal features record.
Already?
They have 666 vocalists featuring on this record. So 667 vocalists actually on the record.
666. Oh my God. Like, can I facepalm? Can you guys on the podcast side feel me facepalming? What was the band that just broke this record with like 400 or something?
Oh, it was like Beyond Divination or something.
That's right.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, this guy, Nihilist, is actually a solo project of the old vocalist of that band. So I don't know if there's some beef or like what is going on here. But like, I think it's so funny.
Oh, I hope the next record, they come back and they do 667. Like, just
start getting real petty with it.
It's the war that no one cares about.
Yeah. Yeah, Chet has confirmed it's Beyond Divination. Thank you, Twitch Chet.
Oh my goodness. Okay, an hour. All right. Well, sure. Gimmicks are fun. All right. What else?
Oh, next up, I want to talk about this because it's already come out, and I know that a bunch of people on the podcast side and on the Twitch side really want us to talk about this. Do you get a chance to go listen to the new single, Lord Farquaadzilla, by our homeboy Bill Murray?
No, I saw that it was coming out. I love Bill Murray, one of the best, and
it is incredible.
I'm not surprised. He hasn't done anything that wasn't incredible, basically. So
I was insanely pleasantly surprised. I forget the guy who features on this song. I think he's like a YouTuber, Jonathan Young. He's a featuring artist. I don't know if he's a guitarist or I know he's definitely a vocalist. You know, on the last release, when after the chorus, they'd kind of go into this like slow, like down tempo, like not really a breakdown, but there's like some synths on top of it and like some heavy bass.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of that on this track, they go into wildly fast guitar solos and power metal vocals. Okay. It is beautiful and something I didn't know I need and just incredible. I love it. It's Bill Murray. It's Tops, right?
It's Tops. That's right. Lord Farquaadzilla. Okay. Yeah. It's out now. I'll listen to this right after this podcast.
The show. Love it. Next up, let's get a little weird. We've already gotten weird on the show. Let's get a little weirder. We're getting I think this is the third single from the new Duran Duran album.
Oh.
These new singles by Duran Duran have been absolute bangers, like straight up heat.
Cool.
I don't know what it is, but I'm really vibing with them. So make sure you go check that out. Everybody knows Hungry Like the Wolf, not a one-hit wonder band.
Oh, of course not.
I think they're solid.
Come Undone was a huge song.
Oh, yeah.
Ordinary World was a huge... Man, they like, come on. These are legends. But you know what's honestly like... And pardon my ignorance, but I didn't even know they were still a band like making new music.
I didn't either until I saw the first single like come across my release radar, because like Duran Duran is a band like my dad really likes, and we kind of like, I grew up with it because he really likes them, so I like still listen to them once in a while, and like the new single popped up and I'm like, they're a band?
Yeah. Still? Well, I'm just incredible. Looking through their albums on Spotify, and it looks like they've pretty much put out records consistently every, you know, 2 to 5 years the whole time. They've been a band since their first album in 1981. So 40 years. And, you know, sometimes it's hard on Spotify to know what's a real release or not, but yeah. It looks like there's about 20 records here that they've put out in 40 years. So they're averaging like one every 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely crazy. And these guys, they've taken their sound and they've stayed true to it, but they've really modernized it as well. I know that we've talked about artists like Gary Numan doing that as well. I think that Duran Duran is doing it in a very similar way.
Right, yeah.
Where they're staying true, but they're still trying to be innovative and keep to their sound. I think it's top tier stuff.
Yes, this album coming out is going to be their 16th album, Future Past.
Wild.
So yeah, I'm here for that.
Wild. Next up... Hold on. Let's talk about this, because we talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show. You had Phil Bozeman from Whitechapel on yesterday on the stream.
Yeah.
There's a new Whitechapel single.
There is.
It is an absolute banger. I love Whitechapel. I think that they're only getting better.
Yeah. And like, you know, they started dabbling with some clean vocals over their last couple releases.
And I think it's great. Phil's an amazing clean
vocalist. He's amazing. I like don't know why they weren't doing it the whole time, but I think this new song, and the name escapes me again.
Album's called Ken Lost Boy. Lost, is the single.
Lost Boy, that's right. That I mean, I think he sounds better clean vocally on that song than anything they've done. And yeah, man, I think we're going to have a banging record from Whitechapel.
That's something I've kind of noticed too sometimes is like a lot of people who are the best screamers on clean vocals also very well clean vocally, even though they don't do it very often. Like sometimes, especially in deathcore, things like that,
yeah. But
they always pretty typically can at least hold a tune pretty well.
Yeah. No, there are some people that like you'd be surprised. I remember, the one that first comes to mind is, Brendan from Counterparts.
Yeah.
You know, I know him as a hardcore singer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, they did a cover set at this little bar in Toronto called Sneaky D's where they did all Used covers.
Yeah.
The Used covers. And they did a whole set of the Used and he sang and he sounded like amazing. I was like, what dude? Like you can sing? Like he sounded as good as Bert. And I was like, this is wild. And, I figured maybe one day they'd incorporate singing. No, he started another band that's even heavier than Counterparts. But yeah,
End is incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible. But
T-Grammar brings up Spencer from Ice Nine Kills too. Great example of that.
I mean, that guy does everything. Guy's like a guy can do it all.
All right, let's get into morning music though. Got a lot to go through. Let's just talk about it. Week of the Meme. Metalcore Meme. We've got a new single from We Butter the Bread with Butter off their upcoming album. I really like them. I think their last two singles, Nice and 20 Kilometers an Hour, are incredible. These guys are great. They're making some really well put together heavy music that's still got some quite honestly jokey content to it. Like 20 Kilometers an Hour is about riding those little scooters around European cities. Like,
yep.
It's pretty great. And on top of that, the metalcore sensation sweeping the nation, sweeping the world, sweeping the globe, coming out with a new single called We've Got the Moves, E-Callboy.
Oh, E-Callboy. Back at it.
They have what appears to be turtlenecks and bowl cuts.
Okay.
So we'll see how all of this goes.
So they're turning the corner on the Hypa era, maybe.
Yeah.
They rode that train. I mean, and I can't blame them for it. But all those different versions of Hypa they with all the other bands,
they were all good too, which was weird.
They were all great. So here we go. I'm ready for this.
Yep, I'm really excited. I hope that we get a new album soon. These guys are great.
Here's your name. Excuse me.
Yeah, agreed there. Next up, let's just go into another band that a lot of people want to change their name. Before their EP drops next week, we're getting a new single from Hot Milk. I love Hot Milk. This band's incredible. If you haven't checked them out yet, why are you even listening to this show if you're not listening to my recommendations? Go check out this band. They're incredible.
Yes. No, we're not telling you to drink Hot Milk. Listen to the band. Don't get those things confused.
Yeah.
Don't.
I mean, drink Hot Milk if you want to, but you won't be a friend of mine. Next up, let's just talk about some smaller bands, because I really like these smaller bands that are putting out some singles this week. They're metalcore. We're getting a new single from Sarah Safe, S-E-R-A, space, S-A-F-E. Mm-hmm. These guys are super cool. They write really riffy stuff, really deep-hitting lyrics. I want to say that they're kind of similar to an All Our Gods Have Abandoned Us era Architects. So if you're kind of missing that sound with Architects' change of sound, go check out Sarah Safe. They're really good. The new single dropped on Dreambound today and will be streaming everyone Friday. It's super cool. Love it. And then there's an awesome post-hardcore kind of metalcore band called Siamese, dropping a single on Friday. Their last single, actually, I think it might have been two singles ago, featured Rory from Dayseeker. I would say that they're very similar bands, where Siamese is a little bit heavier at times than Dayseeker. They're both incredibly solid, very emotional writers, and just super solid tunes.
Right on.
Next up, let's get into Bad Flower. We're getting another new Bad Flower
song. Yeah, band that you're really coming around on.
Yeah, I am. And I forget when this album drops. It drops on the 24th this month. So coming up, look out for that. But I'm excited for the single.
Yeah. Yeah, solid band. Solid band. I feel like I've mentioned this like three times, but they are like one of the better mainstream rock bands out there now. So definitely don't sleep on Bad Flower if you have been.
Yeah. We've talked about this band. They put out an album this year and we're already getting a new single. Any guesses? It's deathcore.
No guesses.
Darko.
Yes. Yeah.
Surprisingly, another new single turning around. I know before they even dropped their last record, they said that they were done recording the second record. So, quick turnaround. I'm excited for this. Darko is a super solid band.
Yeah.
What's the drummer's name? I forget.
Dude from Amir?
Yeah. Well, not from Amir anymore.
I forget his name, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Left Amir, though, that's all I was going to bring up.
Yeah.
Focus on Darko full time.
Yeah. Well, they're seemingly turning into a pretty big band. A lot of people are talking about them. And the other Darko that I like to bring up from the UK, the punk band, sadly.
They're getting a new vocalist soon.
What's that?
They lost their vocalist. They've got somebody
exactly.
new, though, right?
They did lose their vocalist, which is unfortunate. Dan, a great singer, very, very interesting voice too. But they have a new singer. There will be some new Darko music finally from Darko UK. So whether you're into punk or whether you're into deathcore, there's a Darko for you.
Yep. Next up, absolutely crazy band, Portrayal of Guilt, put out a new single. These guys are off the wall, death metal, noise, metalcore, a little bit of everything for you in there. They announced their new album. It's called Christfucker.
Yep. Okay, there you go.
So super solid. Make sure you check those guys out. They're really fun.
Sounds like some fun music.
Kind of in the same vein, band's very similar to them. Full of Hells put out the second single off of their record. They're kind of like a death grind band. I love Full of Hell. They're great.
All right.
One of the most intense bands I've ever seen in my life. And then kind of end some of the super heavy stuff that we have this week. We're getting the second single from the new Archspire record. Absolutely incredible Canadian dudes.
Yeah.
Super solid. Love them. Let's see. Do you like Avatar?
The movie? It was okay.
Yeah, I think so too. the TV show is much better. No, I'm talking Avatar, the rock band, the rock and roll circus, if you will.
Yes, they're intense. They're an intense band.
Yeah.
I dig them. I like their promo photos a lot. They're always a good time.
Yep. They're a great live band too. I think they're great. They're putting out a new single this week. So make sure you check that out if you're a fan of the Alice Cooper, Rob Zombie, shock rock metal type stuff. Really cool up and coming band that I think is really similar to those guys. Next up, going back to some metalcore from Australia specifically, we're getting a new single from Void of Vision. These guys are super, super great and exploding right now. I can't wait for them to come tour in the States. I'm going to try and go see them as soon as I can, but they are incredibly solid.
Hopefully people can come do that from other countries.
Yeah, hopefully.
That is not going to be a problem for bands. Seems like we're getting to the right track. So
yeah, we're moving there. Next up, I know I think I talked either last week or the week before, I found a new band called Death Blooms. They're kind of cool, almost like new metalcore. They put out a new song this week featuring Milky Way from Wargasm. Her vocals are on there. Absolutely incredible. Banging track. Make sure you go check it out. Next up, we had a new Hawthorne Heights single this week.
Oh, I missed that one.
Yeah. It dropped on Monday, I think.
Okay.
So yes, make sure you go check that out.
Just a couple days old. Hawthorne Heights, I mean, obviously a band near and dear to my heart. Thunder in Our Hearts. That's the name of the song.
Oh, wow. Nice segue.
Yeah. And quite honestly, like, I think that this band is getting better and better as well with age. And yeah, I encourage them to play their new stuff, you know, more and more live, because I think their new music is their best.
Yep. Where do we want to go next? We got two super heavy hitters. These could be my favorite singles of the week. Let's go here. I thought that we were done getting singles from this band before the record. But apparently we're getting a single this week, and we're getting a single next week from the good old boys, Don Broco.
Yes.
Absolutely love Don Broco. The single this week is called Uber. I'm very excited to hear what happens with it.
Okay. Me too. What a band.
Last up, we're getting a new single called Ghost from Eminence.
Ah.
I love Eminence. Such solid. I hope they announce the album with this one too. I've been patiently waiting. Give me the pre-orders.
I dig.
Should be good though. Violin metalcore.
I dig it.
That's all I got this week.
Okay, yeah. So we had some big records and lots of different eclectic stuff to check out on the single side of things. And yep. This month is going to get buck wild. And October is maybe even more so.
It's going to get stupid.
Stupid amounts. So make sure that you're subscribed right here on Twitch or wherever you listen to this podcast. Please hit that button and come join us.
Join us.
We'll be back next week. Say bye, Mike.
Bye.